Wi-Fi silenced every time I freely speak.
I'm just trying to ball. Fourth quarter, ninth inning, looking for the ball. While I'm out here winning, you just waiting for a call. CJ, why you falling out? That's dangerous. These people talking so crazy. They really be on that fake shit. Cause when you start winning, they make you their main shit. All on some lame shit. Don't get no fuck about it. Play my shit all night long.
I'm just trying to take a breather. I need a breather. I need a little two-seater. I need a little watch with a freezer. Too many feds try to meet up. They try to be must. That's why I pull up in a ghost so they can't see us. Yeah, they can't see.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Uninterrupted. On today's show, we have Meredith Gorenman join us. We talk a little Cam Newton and Patriots QB search, as well as potential free agent targets that we may look at. She answers mailbag questions from our listeners. We talk Lake Tahoe Bruins and Celtics woes. We also touch on our favorite game day meals, and we look at like Carson Wentz and potential moves around the NFL. You don't want to miss it. J-Mar, take us out.
And I broke out the pan, I've been wreaking the havoc. They study in me cause they love how I'm rapping. I roll up a L and I light it, what's happening? Stay with the five, they catch me in traffic. Break the antenna, I want all the static. Talking about money, you know I'm an addict.
To another episode of Uninterrupted, I am your host, Brian. And I have a very, very cool show for you guys today. I'm joined by Nesson's Meredith Gorenman. How are you, Meredith? How are you doing?
Hey, I am doing well, thanks. And it looks like it's pretty nice outside in Boston this week, so I'm looking forward to hopefully venturing outside into the 40-degree weather when I got to work. How nice. Are you?
I'm good. I am stationed in Florida, so we don't know what 40 degrees feels like down here. And but it's raining, but I venture, you know, daily out there without, you know, any repercussions because, again, it's 78 right now and humid. So This is winter. This is winter in Florida, basically. It's not much of a winter.
Oh, Brian, you are so lucky. you're living the life of, like, Tom Brady and Gronk down there. But, yeah, you know, it's been so cold all winter, and then now it's kind of warmed up to the 40s this week, and everyone's like, it feels like spring outside. So it's all about perspective.
Look, the only thing I can say is that I haven't matched Gronk's tan. Like, his tan, I can't get to that level or Brady's yet. So I'm trying. I'm working really hard. But, you know, the weather's not cooperating. We don't have a lot of sun down here yet. But I'm going to try to get my tan on their level, see if I, you know, by the end of the summer, you know, I can feel good about my coloration of what I'm looking for. Because right now I'm still pasty white. Trust me, I might as well be from Florida. So look, we have a great show. We have a lot of topics to get through, and we are basically in the middle of the off season. Officially the off season for football hasn't started, but I miss football. I don't know about you, but I am having withdrawals every Sunday. Like, I really, really, really miss football. Are you having any withdrawals?
Oh, I am for sure. And I feel like, weirdly, even though, you know, the season was different because of COVID and everything, it went by so fast. And, like, just due to COVID and the nature of none of us really having the same quality of life that we did have a year ago, I think having football to watch, you know, a few nights a week was just something that kind of brought a lot of us joy. So yeah, I can't wait for it to come back, but this off season so far has been pretty crazy. So hopefully we'll have some more interesting stuff going on to at least, you know, occupy our minds a bit till we wait for.
Well, you know, it's interesting because compared to baseball off season, football has already done, has a ton of action. And, you know, you talk about the Matt Stafford trade and Jared Goff being traded, you know, for each other. And also now you have Carson Wentz traded, but we're going to get a little bit into that, into the NFL stuff. I want to first focus on the Patriots. And there was a report, I think by Tom Curran, saying that they have made inquiries about potentially looking for a quarterback in the trade market, but the prices were, you know, super high, astronomical. And it seems that they've called just about everyone for a quarterback, but the prices are really high. So the quarterback search for the Patriots, I want to know how you feel about it. Tell me what you feel is going on, and what do you think might happen in the upcoming weeks leading up to the draft and the beginning of free agency? What's your take on the quarterback position right now?
Yeah, well, I do think the quarterback position is, you know, like their top concern right now. And I actually was told the same thing that if it was Tom who, you know, started the original report, the Patriots are, you know, looking at all possible options at quarterback this offseason. And I was literally told that verbatim in the same way. They were literally looking at all possible options. I know there's been reports about the team really, you know, zeroing in on certain guys. But from what I've been told, you know, they're casting a pretty broad net and just seeing what's out there. You know, I did hear that they do still like Jimmy Garoppolo. And so one thing I'm so curious about is, you know, would Jimmy ever come back to New England? I mean, it would be crazy. And I do think Patriots fans might end up liking that, but it would also be probably pretty controversial. But, you know, it's tough to say. Cam Newton, you know, he had the guys' respect. Yeah. Obviously, you know, the whole team liked him. I think Patriots fans liked him. You know, he struggled a bit, but it's a brand new system for him. And, you know, how do you fill the shoes that Tom Brady left behind? You know, anyone would have a hard time doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, and it was an interesting question posted. And I think, I don't know how you feel about this question, but I do want to take your take on it. Somebody said, if the Patriots were going after a wide receiver, a marquee free agent, like let's say Allen Robinson, would he be more inclined to sign with the Patriots if Cam Newton was the quarterback, or if they had a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota who's been floated around as a potential target? And it's a really interesting thing to think about, because it's like you said, Cam Newton has a lot of respect around the league. He does have a quality when it comes to his leadership that a lot of people in the locker room have said he's a great leader. He sets a great tone, and people really, really gravitated towards Cam in the Patriots locker room during the season. So How do you feel about, you know, what are the chances of the Patriots can get a free agent if they had Cam back as opposed to one of the other guys?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question. And I mean, it is such a debatable topic. But just given the circumstances of the season, none of us media members were in the locker room this year. We weren't around Cam in person, but the interactions that all of us had with Cam, you know, in the Zoom interviews every week and whatnot, and, you know, hearing his teammates speak about him, it's all just so positive. Everybody spoke about the energy, you know, the camaraderie, the light and funness that he brought to the team. And it's a change. I mean, a lot of the guys who've been, you know, within the Patriots organization for a while, you know, we're used to Tom Brady's way of doing things, which of course is going to be different than Cam Newton's. But I think Cam was not that they didn't love playing with Tom Brady, but it's just a breath of fresh air. It's something different. And I do think the guys believed in him. I genuinely think if Cam stays with the Patriots, they'll have a better chance of attracting, you know, hot free agents, just because of the fact that, like, you know, he'll have a year of the organization down, you know, he'll know the system better. I think one of the things that he's mentioned that he struggled with was, you know, he got COVID in the middle of the season. That slowed him down, set him back a little bit. And, you know, when you join a brand new team, you still have to build the chemistry, you know, with all the guys. And he's finally, you know, gotten up to speed with some of the guys on the offense. They've kind of built the team around him in some ways, you know, bringing in, you know, Demir Bird's a perfect example, someone that he had played with in the past. I just think that, you know, if a guy's looking at the Patriots, they'll see that, you know, energy and, you know, the will to win that Cam Newton has. And if you talk to anybody within that organization or any guy on that team, I guarantee you they'll say, we love playing for Bill Belichick because, you know, he finds what each and every single one of us is good at and brings that out of us. And we love playing for Cam because he makes it fun. But again, you know, I could be wrong, but, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Right. No, and look, one of the things that you have to take into account is, it's like you said, it was his first year, and the weapons were less than stellar. You know, there could be arguments on both sides that there's been a lot of argument and a lot of debate, basically, that said, well, you know, some players were getting open, he was missing, and, you know, he would hang on to the ball too long and stuff like that. But again, COVID did affect him, and a lot of things set back the team. So it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting dilemma as far as what the Patriots should do with the quarterback position and how much Cam impacts bringing him back with other free agents that could potentially look at the Patriots as a destination. Now, like I'm going to go off topic here a little bit, but based on the fact that the Patriots have a lot of cap space, right? Because they have a ton of cap space to play with, almost $63 million, I think, cap, I think they have. how important of an offseason is this for Bill Belichick? And do you think this is something that where Bill Belichick is going to come out guns blazing because he has something to prove? Because there has been a lot of, you know, over the years, it's always been said, Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, who does more to the success of the Patriots? Is it more Brady than Bill? Is it more Bill than Brady? I always thought it was, you know, they complemented each other perfectly and was the perfect storm. Now, what do you think? Do you think Bill Belichick comes out guns blazing and just starts throwing money at everybody?
Absolutely not. I don't think Bill's going to change his way of doing things at all. And quite honestly, I don't think he even listens to the Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick discussion, because I think he just, you know, respects Tom so much and also, you know, knows his own ability. Right. But that being said, yeah, I can't see him just changing his entire philosophy that he's had, you know, the entire time he's been running the Patriots. But that being said, I think one thing that's important for all of us to remember is just due to the COVID season, a lot of key guys on the Patriots sat out for the year. And you got to remember, you know, Dante Hightower is coming back. Patrick Chung's probably coming back. There's going to be a lot of core guys who will be back on the field. And Brandon Bolden, you know, it's just it's going to be a whole different way of doing things. And you also have to factor in, you know, the leadership that these guys will bring in to the locker room again. Dante Hightower, Chung, Bolden, all of those guys are leaders in the locker room. I'm sure that it's just going to, you know, bring things kind of back to how they were before. It was just kind of a mishmash year for, you know, everybody. But, you know, the Patriots organization definitely got jumbled by, you know, Brady leaving, the guys, a lot of guys opting out of the season, Cam getting COVID. I just don't think this season was a good way to, it's not a good way to, you know, base your opinion on how the team's going to look next year by judging from last season.
And by the way, you make a really key point. They had a lot of opt-outs. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Patriots were like, they led the league in opt-outs due to COVID. So, and there was a lot of key members on that defense and special teams, you know, and even if they're not playing, even if their play is not something crazy, let's say like a Brandon Bolden, but he does bring stability and a leadership to the locker room, which I think can also affect things when things, you know, may go sideways or not going as planned. So they are getting some leadership and some vets back, and I do agree, but I tend to disagree in just slightly with you. I don't think Bill Belichick listens to anyone. I think I agree with you at that part. I don't think he listens to talk radio or Twitter heads or anything like that about him needing to prove anything. But I do think that he looks at what happened this season, and he's going to come out more aggressive than in previous years. Not because I think he has something to prove, but because he has the opportunity to be more aggressive. Where, you know, in previous years, you know, last year, they didn't have a lot of cap space to go and throw out free agents and stuff like that. This time, he does have that, and he may be looking to get the core of the team younger. And I think that's important, because there's a lot of aging vets. This is not a young roster by any means. So they have a lot of guys that they got to turn up. You wouldn't agree with that?
You know, I agree to an extent. I think it'll be interesting just given the circumstances of Tom Brady not being with the team in the past. I feel like, you know, guys took pay cuts to stay with the Patriots and keep playing with Brady. And there was just that standard of, hey, you want to come win in New England, you do it. You might not get paid as much as you could at another team, but, you know, you're probably going to win a championship and you get to play with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time and in a system that's just been refined for, you know, 20 years. But I think that with Brady not there, obviously, you know, that aspect for free agents is different. So in order to make, you know, New England a place more appealing to guys, they are going to have to, you know, not pay them as little as as they were when Brady was around. And I also think, you know, you got to look at, I mean, what just happened with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. You know, the team really surrounded him by weapons that put him in a position to succeed. And so I do think, you know, Bill does see that, and he knows that, you know, he's got to surround the quarterback with guys that are going to help him succeed. So I do just genuinely think it also will be up to, how do I explain this? It'll basically, it depends. It depends who's going to be at quarterback, and then they're going to have to figure out the rest of the weapons once they figure out who their next quarterback is.
I think so. I see the point. Even I get brain freeze just thinking about the possibility the Patriots could actually have at the quarterback position. It's just such an open debate as far as what they should do, and there's just so many options that they can go. It truly is wild, and I don't think I've been as interested and as intrigued by an offseason as I am this year, just because there's just I can't remember the last time the Patriots were going into an offseason where they had so much money and so many questions at the same time. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this cap space and how do they choose to. Are they going to go out and sign a lot of mid-tier guys and fill out the roster and balance their roster out? Or are they going to go actually go maybe surprise us? You know, Stephon Gilmore was a big-ticket free agent item, and he was signed day one. As soon as he hit the market, he was a Patriot. So you never know. You never know what could happen with that. And I can't wait. I can't wait. March 25th cannot come soon enough for me. Look, we're going to move on, and I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, a little Bruins. We're going to talk a little about this Tahoe trip. There was a lot of pictures that I saw that were breathtaking, and I was so jealous, because again, I'm in the tropics in Florida, and you think I'd be great, but no, I'm sick of palm trees. I want to see what they see. I want mountains. Okay. I want scenery, and it looked beautiful over there. What did you make of the whole Tahoe trip? And I think the NHL did a great job, by the way, with this whole event.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was such a great idea. And it looked absolutely beautiful. I was saying last night, you know, when I was doing something for our show on Nesson, that it would be wild if every NHL game had that backdrop. But
oh my God.
Obviously, it would lose some of its novelty if every game was played like that. But I mean, it was just stunning. Obviously, the weather circumstances weren't great in terms of, you know, the game getting delayed on Saturday, but it was beautiful. You know, my brother just moved his family out to Lake Tahoe in August, so I went out there in November.
Oh, wow.
And the mountains are just, like, stunning. It's the most beautiful place ever. I bet it's a little distracting for the guys on the ice when they're skating around and they see these gorgeous mountains in the background.
We could go to the coach, but I'm sorry I missed that shot, coach, but the scenery just took my breath away. One thing I wanted to talk about, and you know, there's been talk, obviously, it's been thrown around, and I think it's ludicrous, about Pasta possibly being traded for Sidney Crosby, and I just think it's preposterous. I honestly, it's one of the worst takes I've ever heard. Pasta is on fire. Do you think he's the best Bruins player since Ray Bourque? Because someone asked me that. They were like, I think David Pastrnak is probably the best player on the Bruins, talent-wise, since Ray Bourque. And I was like, I don't know. We have Bergeron. We have Marchand. We've had some great players here. We have Joe Thornton. What do you make of Pasta?
I mean, that's a really, really tough question. I mean, Pasta's up there with the best of them, though. And I mean, what, he's 24 years old and he just keeps on getting better every year. I think he's just kind of scratching the surface of what he's going to be, quite frankly. It's so scary, but it's also great if you're a Bruins fan.
Absolutely.
But I mean, come on, a hat trick out in Tahoe. He already had another hat trick against the Flyers this season. He's just putting up crazy numbers, and you got to remember, you know, he just had surgery not that long ago, got back out on the ice pretty recently, and the fact that he's just already back up to speed, playing at, you know, the same level or even a higher level that he was last season is just absurd. So I cannot see the Bruins trading Pasta. Why would you trade a 24-year-old up-and-coming superstar for a, what, 30-something-year-old guy?
In decline. You know, Sidney Crosby's still great. I'm not going to knock Sidney Crosby. He's had a great, illustrious career. The guy's a champion. He's a winner. He's won at every level. He won for the Olympics. He won for the Penguins. Great. But if someone trades David Pastrnak, I will riot. I will fly to Boston, and I will chain myself to the Garden until they bring him back, because the fact that that was even discussed, it shocked me to my core. I thought I couldn't be shocked, but something always happens that someone always says something that I'm like, yeah, no, that can't be true.
Yeah.
Look,
it's just so funny because I feel like I heard this discussion too, and I was like, whoever started this discussion must have been really bored that day because this isn't even like up for debate.
Oh my God, they were playing devil's advocate for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Look, let's talk about something. This topic for me, it's not as fun for me, and it's the Celtics. They are very inconsistent. What do you make of the Celtics right now? What do they need? I've heard anything from fire Ainge, fire Brad Stevens, trade Jaylen Brown for Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know. What's going on, in your view, with the Celtics? Why do you think they're struggling?
Yeah, they definitely are struggling. Well, first of all, they need Marcus Smart to come back.
Yeah, that's a fact. He's gone, and it's gone downhill since he's gone. So absolutely.
Absolutely. They need him back, and the timeline of him coming back got pushed back. I guess they're saying now it's reportedly he's not coming back until after the All-Star break. So they need him back.
That's
first
brutal.
Of all, no, I don't think that Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge should lose their jobs. But I do think that, you know, Danny Ainge should use, you know, the trade exception, bring in a guy who can move the ball around. You know, the trade deadline's at the end of next month. They've got a lot of time, but I mean, they've got to make a move. And Danny Ainge has taken full responsibility for how the team looks right now. He's not really pointing the finger at any players. He's saying, you know, I'm the one that chose these players on this team. And so if they're not playing with the juice and enthusiasm and, you know, power that I
envision for them,
then, hey, it's my fault because I selected these guys.
Right. And so. I think you're absolutely right. And I think Danny Ainge is going to be under some scrutiny now, especially if he doesn't make a move, because he's already admitted that the roster needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it needs help. So it's up to Danny Ainge now to sit there and reevaluate the players and the roster and think what he can come up with to improve this. Because right now you have Jaylen Brown putting career numbers. Tatum is putting also some career numbers and stats, especially in free throw and field goal percentage. So there's when you have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you should not be struggling as bad as they are. So it's really perplexing, honestly. I really didn't think that Marcus Smart was going to, you know, affect that much, but obviously it has. And, you know, I'll tell you this. Gordon Hayward, is he missed now? Is Gordon Hayward missed?
He's hurt again.
Is he? Yeah. Is he? Never mind. All right. I'm just asking.
He is. The way that he's been playing this season down in Charlotte has been awesome. And it does kind of, you know, raise the question of, you know, do the Celtics miss him? Were they better with him? But, yeah. I mean.
He's hurt. I didn't know.
I don't know. I'm not trying to knock Gordon Hayward. He's an amazing player. I'm just saying, you know, they're trying to revamp this team, you know, bring in guys who, you know, will be with the team for a while. And it's tough to see a guy like Kemba who had that slump, you know, so far this season. He's kind of getting, you know, better this past month, but it's tough when you're, you know, paying a lot of money for a guy and he just isn't playing to the expectation that you had when you brought him into Boston.
Right. Yeah, it's like I said, it's, a lot of things are happening, you know, with the NFL free agency coming in the next month. The month of March should be quite exciting, especially for folks here in Boston. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with the Celtics, with the Patriots free agency. Everything's coming into play. If I had a time machine, I wish I could use it. But this next topic, it's going to be brought to you by Home Task Force. If you have any needs around your home, go to hometaskforce.net and they can help you out. Again, hometaskforce.net. You can find them on Instagram and on Facebook as well. Now, I was talking to my buddy and he said something to me, Meredith. He said something so atrocious. He said something so egregious that I could not believe it. It was, he told me that he doesn't like pizza. He doesn't think pizza is a good meal for game day for football.
What?
Pizza, right. Instead, he told me he'd rather eat sushi.
Huh.
Now, look, I love sushi. I am a lover of sushi. But pizza over pizza on a game day? Now, what do you make of this take? And what will you? What is your favorite game day meal that you like to go and enjoy during a game?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually, you know, not working games from the press box this season and getting to watch games either in the office or at my apartment, I kind of got to experience that a little bit more. And okay. I would say very strongly, pizza over sushi while watching a game any day. And I love sushi so much. Like, I could eat it every single day of the week if I wanted to. But there's nothing like having a piece of pizza or something hot and cheesy and watching a game. Right. Yeah, I would say... Like, do you want to do a quick little, like, power rankings maybe for game day food? I think I would start with...
I like this. Go for it.
Yeah. I would say buffalo chicken wing dip is, like, in my top spot.
What a great choice. Yeah.
Thank you. Then I would say chicken wings or, like, buffalo chicken tenders.
Okay.
With blue cheese, not ranch dressing. That's controversial, too.
Ooh. Okay.
Pizza, and then I would do cheeseburger, and then I would do nachos.
You know what's interesting? I have my list is kind of similar to you. The buffalo chicken dip, I love it. Okay, yes. It's in my top five. But I think tacos. I like tacos. Ooh. I like tacos. Chicken tacos, or I did not like tacos. Fish tacos at first, but now I'm getting into the fish tacos, and I thought that was a pretty decent meal for a football game. Definitely wings number one. And I would definitely take pizza to buffalo chicken dip at three, tacos at four, and then number five would be it's a toss up. I would say it's a toss up between nachos or. I would say maybe like a burrito or something like that. I don't know. I have an affinity for Mexican food. So my fiance got me into that, into a lot of Mexican food. So now I'm the one always fiending for Mexican food. So, but definitely those were good choices by those power rankings, by the way. By the way, please tell my friend he's crazy.
So I will. You know, I'm sure you're a great guy, but your food choice for watching games is a little questionable. And
sus. It's very sus.
It is. I mean, I don't know. There's just something about eating something that's like comforting and savory and unhealthy while watching a game. And like if your team isn't doing well, then you can eat your feelings a little bit and feel better.
Let me ask you something. You brought something up that this is your first year that you were able to experience some of this because you were usually in the press box, right? So yes. How has that experience been for you this season where you had to kind of adjust and, you know, cover the games from – you know, the office or from your house, as opposed to being in the press box? How has that adjustment been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good adjustment, but it's definitely been hard. And the access is a lot different. You know, there's nothing like going into, you know, a locker room after a game and conducting interviews and actually getting a feel for the mood around the team and, you know, talking to the guys face to face versus everything being done, you know, over video now, over the computer.
Yeah.
It's certainly made things easier from a logistical standpoint in the sense that, you know, you're not, you know, running around a stadium with a bunch of equipment and, you know, a bunch of people and trying to, you know, get all these moving parts together before you go on TV. Right. But I do think that, of course, you know, it definitely has been easier in some regards, but I just can't wait for things to go back to normal and that access to come back. But it does bring up the question of now that teams and players have realized how easy it is for them to operate this way with everything done, you know, electronically after games and whatnot, are they going to ever open things back up to the media that's the way that they were before COVID?
That's an interesting question, you know, because, again, I think I read a couple of weeks ago that they are going to start letting fans in back at the Garden at 20% capacity. So it's only a matter of time before, you know, they decide to do the same thing with some of the football stadiums like Gillette, you know, perhaps that maybe they'll start doing that. And what's going to be the availability for the media to go in there and do their jobs and to, you know, back to the way things were before this whole pandemic hit. So it is a good question. I think eventually mm-hmm. it will get back to that point. I think right now they're still sorting things out with the vaccine, and people are still getting vaccinated and dealing with cases and stuff around the country. So it's still kind of, you know, honestly, I didn't think it was going to last this long, to be honest. I thought it would last about a year, but it looks like we're going to go into year two, and we're still going to be, you know, dealing with this whole issue.
I know. It's but tough. It really is tough.
Yes. And by the way, you do a great job. I've enjoyed your work, whether it's from your home or the press box. You've done a great job, by the way. So keep up the good work. You are appreciated, and you are doing fantastic. I think you can handle it. I think you could be on a plane, and you could still do a fantastic job from up there. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, doing reports from home from my kitchen definitely, you know, comes with its own struggles if the Wi-Fi isn't having a good day. You know, what can you do? Or if construction decides to happen, you know, 1 week outside of my house, that's always fun too. So
it's a blessing and a curse. You got to take the good with the bad.
Oh, for sure.
Look, let's look a little bit now. This is a question that was brought up to one of our listeners last week, but I didn't get to answer it, so I wanted to answer it with you this week. And off the top of your head, we're going to do rapid fire a little bit here. Now give me, who do you think are the most popular Boston athletes in 2021? And they have to be active. They have to be active. So we can't go David Ortiz because he's a forever guy. So off the top of your head, what do you think right now? Now that Brady is gone, and you could even argue that Brady's still popular in Boston.
Yeah.
So off the top of your head, who do you think are the most popular Boston athletes of any four of the major sports, men or women, right now in Boston?
Okay. Well, it's funny because the faces of a lot of these teams have changed. And I mean, Dustin Pedroia just retired. So, yeah, this is tough. But I would say, like, Patrice Bergeron is the face of the Bruins.
Yeah.
And Pasta's getting up there, too. But, you know,
Bergie's been here a long time doing
great. He has. And everybody loves him. And everybody loves Pasta, too. But, I mean, this guy has just been around forever. I would say Edelman, of course.
Jules,
for the Patriots.
Now, especially now that the Brady's gone and Rob is gone, and you know, and he's kind of like one of those last few pieces from this from that dynasty, that last dynasty that we had, and he's been here for a lot of great runs. I agree, Julian Edelman.
I know, and now I'm like, is he going to be with the Patriots next season? Oh,
don't break my heart, please.
I know. I don't know. He might go join his buddies down in Tampa Bay.
Man, I think it's a discussion for another day, but, you know, I think Edelman still has a couple of good years health-bearing. I think people are making his demise, his exit, a little premature. I still think he still has that hunger to play football. But, again, we'll dive into that one the next show.
Yeah.
All right. So what else you got? I have Bergeron for you. I have – what was the other? Julian Edelman? What else you got?
I mean, I would say Marcus Smart. It's different, though, because with the Celtics, like, there isn't really that, you know, like, overarching superstar that some other teams have, like LeBron or, you know, Kevin Durant.
Or a lifer. Yeah, or a guy like Paul Pierce, who was here from the get-go, and, you know, he basically carried the Celtics for a long time. I get you.
But I think that, you know, Jason Tatum is establishing himself, and, you know, Boston fans, you know, he's very recognizable. I think Marcus Smart, Celtics fans love him. So I would say it's a toss up between the two of those for me with the Celtics. And then
what about the Red Sox? What do you got?
The Red Sox.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because the team has got a lot of turnover.
I'm like,
I'm still crying for Mookie. So what else do we got? Who in the Red Sox do you think right now is kind of the face of that team? It could be Xander. It could be Devers.
I would say Xander. I was going to say Chris Sale, but we haven't seen him in a bit as he's rehabbing from his surgery. And I mean,
It's tough.
I was going to say like Jackie Bradley Jr., but we don't even know if he's coming back.
Yeah. Man, the Red Sox are an enigma to us this year. By the way, I do think they're gonna be sneaky good. And
yeah.
I think they're gonna be sneaky good, and I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Red Sox, because, you know, they've had so much players leave, and, you know, have Benintendi. Benny left us this season via trade. And, you know, Mookie went last year. Jackie Bradley may be gone, but I do think that there's enough youth on this team, but they could be sneaky, sneaky good. You know, then you got real a lot of people that aren't expecting. Now their expectations are lower. They can go under the radar and do some things, by the way. So I am optimistic about the Red Sox.
I completely agree. I mean, and the guys themselves are even saying, like, you know, don't sleep on us. People are sleeping on us. Right. But the Red Sox have made it very clear what they're trying to do in terms of, you know, the turnover that we've seen with some of the, you know, beloved longtime Red Sox players leaving and them bringing in new people. They've made it clear, you know, what they're trying to do. And so I think you just have to have faith in the process. And I also don't think that they're going to be bad this season. But, I mean, everything is really ramping up this week with spring training. And
yeah,
I think we'll have a better grasp of things, you know, in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Look, it's the baseball season is always, you know, like I said, it's so hard to predict what, how teams are going to pan out from year to year, because sometimes, you know, you have a year where they do great and then the next year they fall apart. You know, look at the Red Sox in 2018. They won 118 games. The next year they had their issues. So maybe this year, you know, they go to that trend where it's 1 year bad, 1 year good. So maybe, no, who knows? Maybe they surprise everyone and they shock the world and make a huge run. I'm definitely hoping, and I hope that Erod health bearing and everything good and Chris Sale can come back and contribute to the team. So we'll be rooting for the Red Sox to go ahead and shock a lot of people. look, we're going to go to our last topic here. And our last topic is basically going around this past week and a half, I would say. With the Carson Wentz trade, he was finally traded. You know, he reunites with Frank Reich. The Eagles, I was told, okay? Hear me out. I was told that the Eagles were the new dynasty after 2017. What happened? Can you please tell me what happened to this up-and-coming team? Now, Carson Wentz is gone. You know, the guy they have a statue for is not there. So, Carson Wentz, right? Let's start with Carson Wentz. What is your trajectory for Carson Wentz now that he's reunited with Frank Reich, with a good offensive line, by the way? Okay, so he has something there to, at least to build on.
I think that he's going to do amazing in Indianapolis. I think that he definitely has a chip on his shoulder after the way things shook out last season. I think he's got something to prove, and he's, you know, going to make the most with his new team. And you know, I never expected Carson Wentz to not be with the Eagles until things, you know, fell apart last season. But I do think that when people predicted the Eagles maybe, you know, being the next, you know, dynasty type thing in sports, which I personally didn't see happening, I don't think that anyone ever expected it, Carson Wentz to not be the guy. But I mean, things happen. It's the NFL, and I think he's going to make the most out of his experience, you know, in Indianapolis next. And it'll be a good opportunity. I think he needed a clean slate. I think that it's funny when you look at a trade like this and you see the return for Carson Wentz versus the huge return that, you know, the Lions got for Matthew Stafford.
Massive.
There's just been a lot of surprises with the trades amongst quarterbacks this season or this offseason.
Okay. All right. So look, now we're going to go ahead and I picked three questions. Okay. That some of our listeners they wanted to ask you, and you can answer, you know, you can answer short and sweet, however you want. Okay. So I'm going to start with question number one from Aaron. Okay. This question is from Aaron, and Aaron asked me, okay, what free agents do you think the Patriots could sign? And does Mac Jones at 15 make sense if Cam returns, considering the play completely different? So he has two questions.
Okay, so I'll start with Mac Jones. And I think that it does make sense for the Patriots. He can come into New England, learn from Jarrett Stidham, learn from Cam if he stays. I mean, they might play completely different, but Cam, you know, is like a natural teacher. We just saw videos of him from his, from the camps that he does in the off season. I mean, Cam is a teacher. He's been in the league for so long. any young rookie quarterback, any young quarterback, any young player in general can learn so much from him mm-hmm. that I think that's a great option. I'm not sure if you feel the same about that, but
no, I do. I think Cam in a mentoring role, perhaps with like a guy like Mac Jones, Cam, it could be an option. It could be out there, and it might be, honestly, it might be the best option in regards to what's out there, because there's not a lot out there. And if the prices to trade a high quarterback are that high, like a Jimmy Garoppolo, or let's say Jimmy Garoppolo and 49ers decide to go at it for another year, I mean, what else is out there? You know, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Fitzpatrick, these are guys that, you know, were backups, or fringe starters, and you don't really know what you're getting. So I can see an option like that. Now, as far as free agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's one free agent in this class, if you have one, that you think could be a potential guy for the Patriots? I'll say this. Matt Milano, mm-hmm. the linebacker from the Bills, he was a guy that was being thrown out there as a guy who Bill really liked. You know, mm-hmm. What do you think? Is there a free agent out there that you think that would be a perfect fit that could be possible for the Patriots to get?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Milano would be great. It would be unbelievable if the Patriots could get J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt, okay.
But J.J. just tweeted something today, so Tuesday, about, I think he said the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and now people on Twitter are speculating that means he's maybe going to Buffalo because the mitochondria is shaped like a bean and, you know, Brandon Bean there. But there's all this speculation. I also could see them trying to get, you know, a core guy on offense, like a top wide receiver. I don't know. I've heard the name AJ Green being thrown around a bit. I'm so curious to see. I really do think they got to start with the quarterback, and then you kind of trickle down from there. The quarterback's the biggest question mark, and if they get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to have to, you know, equip the team differently than if they keep Cam.
Absolutely. I think that's basically, I think, how they're going to do it, but quarterback has to be the first domino to fall.
For sure.
Though, the second question is from Kang's fan, a.k.a. Matt, okay? And his question asks, what are the chances of Deshaun Watson ending up in New England?
Zero.
I like that answer. Right to the point. Crush Matt's dream.
Okay. I'm kidding. No, I mean, I would say that the chances are very slim. I don't even know if Deshaun Watson is going to end up being traded in general. The asking price for him is just, you know, absurdly high. Once you see what the Lions got for Matthew Stafford, what the Rams had to give up to get him. You look at a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's younger, just as skilled, if not more skilled. And I would say that I don't think that the Patriots are willing to, you know, facilitate a trade like that. I don't even think that Deshaun Watson's going to be traded before next season. But obviously the Houston Texans have had so many moving parts, and there's, you know, a lot of controversy right now within that organization. It would be really, really surprising, though, to see him end up in New England.
All right, last one. Okay, this is from at Ret Rum Reality, a.k.a. Brady's Next Ring. Some of these names, guys, come on. What's more important right now, drafting a young core for the future or signing free agents for the short term?
Great question. I would say solidifying the core for the future. I would say, you know, the Patriots are kind of, I mean, in a rebuilding mode in a sense when their franchise quarterback ends up leaving after 20 years in the system. I think that, you know, if they can, you know, draft or trade for a guy at quarterback that's going to be with the team for a bit, they can build the team accordingly. I think that they definitely should be preparing for the future. And I don't necessarily think that doesn't mean they can't win right now either, because you see young quarterbacks and young guys on teams around the league that are succeeding, and there wasn't some huge rebuilding mode either. I think that you can build your core and you can also win right away if it's done right.
Right. And look, I agree with you 300%. I think while it's nice that you have all this money and you might be tempted to go and throw all this money at all these free agents and all these flashy names, I think if it's not going to improve the team, not just short term, but also give you a pathway for the long term success of the team, then it's really not worth, you know, investing in aging free agents where you're not going to really make, you know, unless it's a championship, which I don't think right now is a championship team right here. You know, unless you're making a play for a championship and you're one or two players away, it's really not worth it. You know, Tom Brady did it in Tampa. You know, they had a window. They went out and they brought in Antonio Brown. They brought in Leonard Fournette. He pulled Gronk and they were like, okay, we have the team here. We have the players to go out and compete for a championship. And they went for it and they did it, you know, and they achieved it. So unless you're in a team like Tampa Bay, where they're in right there, you know, in play for the next couple of years, then as far as the right now, based on how the roster is on the Patriots, then no, you have to build for the young long term. And then, you know, eventually you'll get there rebuilding the right way. So
exactly.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
And sometimes it does work out. I mean, the Patriots threw a lot of money in Stephon Gilmore. You know, they believed in him when they paid him and brought him into New England. But I would say that that's almost like the Patriots, you know, exception to the norm, because if you're paying a guy big, big money, bringing in a star, and I mean, he ends up having a bad year or doesn't grasp the system as well as he, you know, you might have expected him to, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And then you're like, well, now I'm in the hole for X amount of dollars and this didn't pan out. So, yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's like you said, you know, it's when you're drafting, you know, when you're bringing in a free agent, when you sign a free agent, it's not a slam dunk that, you know, that free agent is going to work out here. So it comes with a lot of risk. And I think the sure thing and the more, you know, the more logical thing is to build a young core for long term, develop your talent, you know, and then you can start adding free pieces when you're ready to compete and you're actually going to, you know, that's the way it should be done. Again, when they brought in Stephon Gilmore, they had Tom Brady here. So they were a contending team, you know, so it fits into that narrative that you were talking about. We are all out of time. Meredith, I want to thank you so much for joining the show today. I had a lot of fun. It was great talking to you, talking some Boston sports and some Patriots football, etc. Now, please go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Yeah, well, first of all, Brian, thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun, and now I'm craving pizza because of our conversation. But yeah, you can find me online on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is @MareGorman, and pretty responsive. If anyone has any questions, feel free to tweet at me, message me. Chat whenever.
Yeah, and like I said, she's a great follow, guys, if you're on Twitter. Like I said, she's a great follow. A lot of great insight, a lot of good stuff there from her. Keep an eye on her. She does great, great work. Again, thanks again for joining us here at the show. It has been great and awesome to have you, and hopefully we can get you back again soon. Now, you can find me at on Twitter, basically, and on Instagram. You can find me at Title Talk Tweets, and you can also find me at TTM Brian on Twitter as well, tweeting a bunch of Patriots nonsense because I'm just obsessed with the team. It's just the way I am. All right. I also want to go ahead and end the show with music from Jamar. Okay. You can find his music, and we thank him for providing some of the great music content for the show on Spotify. His new album, Unpopular Loner, out now for streaming. Go check him out. Once again, thank you so much, everyone, and we are out.
Oh, thank you.